Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands, Father. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 25:5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." Recently, we've been looking at the love of God, and we've come to the point where we're now considering the attributes of love, as they are the attributes of God's character. If God is love, then God is whatever love is. Last time, we saw that as per 1 Corinthians 13:4, that the first thing that love is patient. Patience is a time-centered term, not an event-centered term. It addresses the when of the will of God more than the what. And as we saw last time, it is the loving patience of God that affords us the opportunity for both our salvation and our sanctification. The patience of God changes time from being our enemy to being our ally. Time is on our side because God is patient. And he is patient with us simply because he loves us. Where the ticking clock once proclaimed our impending doom with every tick, it now proclaims our destiny of perfection. All because we are loved by God, and that love is very patient with us. As Scripture says, it endures all things. This morning, I want to look at how our love for God turns patience around and points it right back at God. How we learn to trust God for the timing of His will. The more we understand His love for us, the more we love Him in return. Remember, we love because He first loved us. And the more we become patient with the when of God's will. I want to begin by reminding you of what exactly patience means from Webster's. Bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Not hasty or impetuous. Steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Able or willing to bear. The concept of being patient with God might seem a bit strange. We're so used to using the term in reference to God being patient with us that the term has taken on an almost negative connotation, as if we are putting up with God until he comes through for us because we know he loves us. Our patience with the will of God is not a matter of putting up with his timing, but is a matter of embracing it, trusting the Lord so deeply that you turn over time completely to him. God's chronology becomes a thing you peacefully wait for instead of a thing you desperately try to change. Patience is the time element of faith. We can be at peace with what God said he will do for us, and yet have great difficulty with the when he does it. Patience with God is patience with his will. It is more than waiting for him because, honestly, you have little option but to wait. He's not going to do it till he's ready. Patience is waiting for him in peace, with time being totally incidental to your faith. It should be noted that the patience that love produces does not change the will of God or his timing. Rather, it accepts it and rests in it. Faith built on love waits patiently for the will of God to unfold. Desiring God's will on your schedule is not desiring God's will. Is desiring your own will. Should be noted that waiting for the Lord to do what he has promised to do is patience that is rooted in faith that is rooted in love. However, waiting for the Lord to do something he never said he would do is delusion rooted in desire. Patience waits for the will of God. It is not the glue that binds the power of God to your will. Remember, it's been a while since I've said this, but it's still true. Faith is not the hand that rubs the lamp that produces the genie that will do our bidding. Patience is not waiting for God to do what we want. It is waiting for him to do what he wants. We turn to James 1:4 from the King James Version. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, Strong's gives us a translation of that word, which is hupomani, which is the word that's used for patience in the King James. The King James translates that 32 times as patience. Now, the New American Standard, which I prefer usually, does translate it as patience, endurance, perseverance, and steadfastness. They all basically mean the same thing. And here's how the New American Standard reads. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance instead of patience. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Endurance and patience are linked terms. They're synonymous in the spiritual realm. They both have to do with time and faith. If the will of God were complete now, there would be no need for endurance or for patience or, for that matter, faith itself. We endure until we are patient until. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Once the things hoped for comes and it is seen, faith is no longer necessary. Whichever term you prefer, patience or endurance, these verses tell us that we learn patience through trials. When we go through one and the Lord does as he has promised, our faith is built for the next trial to come. We become more. As I've told you before, faith is progressive. It becomes more and more. However far the Lord takes you, he will take you one step further the next time. The end result of patience is the perfection in faith, that being proclaimed as wanting nothing or lacking nothing. Being content with the will of God includes his timing, not wanting it to come any sooner than his will or any later. In the end, patience with the will of God is taught to us so that we can be at peace no matter what happens or when it happens. How long do we need to be patient with the timing of the Lord? James answers that question for us a few chapters later in chapters 5, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Be patient until God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray every morning. Be patient with God's timing until you're either dead or you're raptured. Wait for it. Wait for God. Just as a farmer waits for the rain, fretting does not produce rain clouds, worry does not change God's timing. Know his will, then sit back and relax in it, no matter what is happening now, because you know what is coming in the end. Strengthen your heart, for God is coming. How do we strengthen our hearts in patience? James tells us that also, the next verse. And please take verse 9 from chapter 5 in its context. We've been talking about patience the two verses before, and we talk about patience the verse after. Here's what it says. This is all about patience. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And that is part of patience. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, who we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and he is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with your own oath, but your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Those verse 12 and verse 9 tied in with patience seems a bit strange, but these are the things we do when we are not patient. We reach out at other people, and this last one is we try to make it happen. We make oaths, and we try to bind God's will to what we said. And what this is saying is don't do that. Just be quiet, sit back, and let God do what he does when he does it. Because 1 James tells us what not to do. Don't complain about each other to anyone at any time. When we're frustrated, when we lack patience, when we don't want to endure, we often strike out at others. We can't complain about God, so we complain about others. When in fact, the only fault when this happens is our lack of patience. We don't get what we want when we want it, so we become bitter and we start to complain. Next, James tells us what we should do to build our patience. Read the scriptures for examples of patience and endurance. Look what the people of old have done and see how it turned out for them. Allow the truth to make you free to live in the peace with God's timing. Prophet after prophet proclaimed things they would never see. They proclaimed because they believed in the Lord. Their patience with the will of God was firm. Each one of them faced trials for what they proclaimed, for knowing what they would never see in their lives. They paid a price for saying it, knowing it will never occur, and it will occur only when God sees fit, not desiring it for to be any other way. James makes particular note about Job's endurance, his patience, indicating that Job saw the outcome of God's will. And we forget that in the last chapter. The fact that he got to see it encourages us in our patience. That's why it's in there. This is how it ends. Job got to see what we are never promised, the outcome of his patience and his endurance. Job 1, 21 through 22, Job says this, after facing his trials, after his sickness, his infirmity, losing all of his wealth, losing his children, this is what he said. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What he's saying here is God is good. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Now, if we move on to Job 17, verse 1 and verse 9, Job says something very profound about patience. "My spirit is broken, my days are extinguished, the grave is ready for me." This is real stuff. This is the stuff we face in life that breaks our hearts, that destroys our bodies. Then he says this, "Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way." Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way. "And he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger." Job proclaims that his heart is broken and his body is near death. Then he states, "Nevertheless, regardless, the righteousness which God himself proclaimed that Job had will hold its own way." The righteous will endure whatever he faces. He will patiently wait for God. He will grow in strength no matter what happens to his body or spirit, because his soul will grow in righteousness, the part that is eternal. The perfect work of patience was understood by Job long before James ever took pen to paper. There are many examples of people that are patient with the Lord's timing in Scripture. And one of my favorite is Simeon from Luke 2, 25 through 32. "And there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon, and this man was righteous." I hope you're starting to see that righteous people and patient people with the Lord are always connected. "He was righteous and devout, looking, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples.'" This man waited patiently for the Lord for two things: to see the salvation of the Lord for all people and to die. God had told Simeon that his will had tied the two things together and that he wasn't leaving here until it came. One gets the impression that Simeon was really ready to go. He had lived his life. He had come to the point where all he had to look forward to was resting in God's peace, the hope of the righteous of God, when there is no other hope. Now, I've encountered quite a few brothers and sisters who have been brought to this point by life in the hand of God. Saints who desired nothing more from God than to be brought home. Saints whose patience was tried by living. The question I always often ask was, why am I still here? I'm waiting, but it hasn't come. My answer is almost always the same. God is either still using you for the kingdom, or is using this time for you, or both. Like Simeon, when God's will for you is complete, your life will be complete. When we gave our life to Christ, we gave him our time and our death with it. It's hard to tell my brothers and sisters to be patient when the things of this earth have grown cold and dim and the light across the river begins to glow warm. It's hard not to desire the feast when you could smell it baking in the oven. Perfection is hard to wait for when you're that close to it. I found nothing harder to wait for on the Lord than for a death of a saint. Alberta, Alma, Helen, Scotty, Hertha, Jane, my mother, my father, all the saints that I knew in Whitaker and that I visited with before they died and prayed for, all longed for the angel of the Lord to come to their bedside. It's all they wanted. All that I could tell them is that the one who has their time in his hands is the one who loves them the most. And that he would do the very best thing for them in the very best way. Wait on the Lord and the peace of his love for you. The more they knew God's love, the easier the wait for his time was. Now, there are other examples. Churches themselves. The Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 5, Paul writes, "Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance in faith, your patience, in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions, which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering." Your patience is a plain indication of what God thinks of you. The church at Ephesus. Revelations 2, 2 through 3. "I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, and that you put to test all those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." You're still at peace, even though you face these challenges constantly. Theological challenges, the ones that come at us all the time. Why can't we just figure this out and do it? One of my favorite was Jacob from Genesis 29:20, which ties patience and love together. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel to be his wife, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. And that's how we have to understand it with God, and that's how he understands it with us. That's what makes the time pass, the understanding of love. God said this to Habakkuk in 2:3. "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail." I love this part. "Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." Now think about what was just said here. It will come at its appointed time. It will hasten. "Though it tarries, wait for it. It will not delay." Though it tarries, it will not delay. Here's what he's saying. Though it seems late to you, though you think it's late, it will be right on time, exactly when it should be. Now, there are also examples of those who were not patient with God's time. Moses, when he struck the rock. Israel, when they did not seek the Lord when fighting Benjamin at the end of the book of Judges. Sarah, when she used her maid for a child that was promised to her by God. Maybe she was just having a bad hair day. H-E-I-R. Okay. I like that one. Yeah. Thank you. Whoa. The delayed groan. Oh. So when he made the sacrifice, he was not allowed to make because Samuel, he thought, was late, tarrying. Each of these paid a steep price for not waiting on the Lord, for their lack of patience with God's timing. I think of Mary and Martha waiting for Jesus to help Lazarus, who was sick. The anxiety, the fear, and the disappointment with God himself. If only you had come sooner. Where were you? See, brothers and sisters, there is no sooner. There is no later for the will of God. When it comes, that's when it should be there. Just so you understand exactly what it is we are all ultimately waiting for, what our faith ultimately takes us to, Isaiah 25:8-9. He will swallow up death for all time. The Lord God will wipe away from all faces, not some faces, all faces, the tears. And he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited. This is it. This is exactly what we waited for. This is everything. And everyone will say it. Everyone will know it. And this is how they will know it. That he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is what we're waiting for. This is what we're patient for, no matter what else is going on. The moment of epiphany, when we see exactly what it is we've been waiting so patiently for, when we realize that it's well worth the wait, as it will exceed all expectation. This is what Peter tells us to look for in 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. While we wait patiently, we don't look at our watches. We don't even look at the calendar. We're looking to Scripture to know what is surely coming. The culmination of God's will for all of mankind. And when this happens, time becomes incidental. Galatians 6:9-10. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary, if you don't stop. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. If we don't give up, if we wait patiently, we will reap the rewards of righteousness. So while you're waiting on the Lord to do what he has said he will do, do good to all people, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look forward to his promise and do good. That's how you handle patience. Look forward to his promise and do good to other people. This is what we're to do while we wait patiently for the Lord. And I leave you with this thought from Psalms 41. David speaking. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Think of the order of things here. I waited for the Lord. The Lord saw me waiting, and the Lord inclined. He turned his head and put his hand to my ear to listen to me. God waits for us to wait for him. So, wait for it. Amen.